John Kasich finally dropped out like a pregnant high school student. The 2016 presidential race, now set with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, is still rising in shadowy outline. While certain knowns are already obvious, such as the truculent nature of both candidates, certain other unknown knowns are still to be determined, and the looming insult fest could right now go either way, according to analysts. And yet, if just one thing were jiggered or changed, being Hillary's status in her FBI email investigation, all bets would be off and Trump perhaps the presumptive winner. But if Hillary's indictment were to come down, what would happen next? The DNC and the Democrats would certainly have the right to replace her, but how would that occur? So if it's Bernie versus Donald, a New York boy knockdown, do the odds change? Of course, but how? And if Biden or some other liberal warhorse slips in, then what? All of these changes would have to be measured on a case-by-case basis. But will Hill get indicted? Only time will tell. And could this have been Obama and the Dems' plan all along to run her as a stalking horse, only to be replaced by the preferred candidate at the 11th hour? Well, I know one thing. Donald won't be losing any sleep over it, sports fans. Good morning, 607. And it's the Kelly O'Connell Show. And so now that we've got this campaign set up, the mind, of course, quickly turns to what else might change. And certainly, although we haven't spent a lot of time analyzing it here on the show, there is the potential for Hillary to get indicted still. And I've got a little bit on that. And just a few opening headlines for you. Illegal immigrant numbers skyrocketing at a Mexican border. More joined armed groups to patrol. And that's on this side. Bad people are crossing, and they're cutting through barbed wire in seconds. So you're coming down to the final few months of the completely lawless administration of Obama. Obama, who has the messianic view of politics and apparently doesn't really have a belief in a religion that would actually have a messiah in it, but he's doing what he can to change. How exciting. Trying to bring over as many people as possible and acting like he's above all criticism. In the meantime, wringing his hands and complaining when anyone threatens his so-called legacy. I didn't know being a buffoon was a legacy, but I guess it is. And so Mike Savage is saying Obama will sabotage economy on the way out. I absolutely believe in that. I really think that was his thing all along, was to lessen America's outline, their place in the world, so that his ideas, I don't know what other reason there would be, but we've all heard it 100 or 1,000 times that Obama is trying to downsize America. I mean, it just is the only consistent explanation for his actions that really makes any sense. President Vicente Fox apologizes, invites Trump to Mexico. Yeah, it's funny how, when the worm turns, when the facts on the ground change, that suddenly people are not as antagonistic. And now maybe, how about this? Maybe the Pope could apologize for trying to overthrow our election as well with his dumb position. Anyway, here's a little bit on Hillary. What do we know now about the email indictment that could be coming at 610 on KOBE 1450, 23-1450 to call in your texter 805-6180.
Back in the top segment tonight, pressure growing on the FBI to at least announce some of its findings in the investigation of Hillary Clinton's use of government emails that may have violated national security laws. Question for us this evening, what's really happening right now? With us, Judge Andrew Napolitano has been closely following the case. Can you advance the story?
Yes. The FBI is at the very end of its investigation. It's in about the second to last phase. It has invited Mrs. Clinton's five closest advisors, former and present. Many of them are now with her in her campaign, in for interviews. They have hired the same lawyer and they've agreed to go in.
Okay. But they haven't gone in yet.
I don't know if they've gone in, but I do know that the invitation was issued about 2 to 2.5 weeks ago, and the FBI gives you a very short window, right. Like
so
3 to 5 days.
We assume they're all going to be interviewed, and then Hillary Clinton herself has to be interviewed, right?
And she can say yes or no.
But she's already said, I thought she said she's going to do it. She's already said that publicly.
She has said that many, many times.
Right.
It's a foolish thing to do legally, but she may need to do it politically. At that point, their investigation is concluded. Now, they don't make a recommendation to the Justice Department. They are working in tandem with the Justice Department because they don't do anything without being under the supervision of Justice Department prosecutors.
Sure, that's the way the chain goes. Will they have lawyers, Hillary Clinton and her crew, when they go in? Will they have lawyers sitting with them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can
so the FBI, it. They can stop it. They can say, don't answer that.
Correct.
All of that. Now, you would assume they'd have to talk to Hillary Clinton, right? They have to.
Well, she is the subject and the center of the investigation.
So you have to talk to her.
Well, they like to talk to her.
But again, we're assuming that her word is good. She will go in. Now, will they announce that they're going to interview her on a certain date? Will everybody know that? I'm going to be able to report that?
No. Unless they leak it to people
who
are
following
this closely.
So they may have already interviewed the five that work for her. We wouldn't know.
That's correct. Unless one of them, somebody leaked it.
But
correct.
Hillary Clinton's campaign will certainly tell everybody that she's going in.
I would imagine so because she wants to score points with the fact that she has nothing to hide from the FBI.
Right, right. Okay. Now, you have been on record as saying that she broke the law. You, the judge, have convicted her on television. Are you ashamed?
No, not at all. The evidence of her guilt is overwhelming. The
to
question.
Whom?
Overwhelming to anybody who observed what she did and
then,
knows
then
what
it has
the FBI
to be overwhelming.
Knows.
Then it has to be overwhelming to the Bureau then, right?
Absolutely. And
so
the FBI
Bureau
knows a lot more about it than I do.
So if what you're saying is right, that the evidence against Hillary Clinton is overwhelming to you, a judge, it has to be overwhelming to the FBI. So therefore, they have to recommend that Loretta Lynch prosecute.
And then the issue becomes political.
Well, we don't want to get into that now. We're only concerned about what the FBI says.
The
right?
FBI has enough evidence to indict and to convict.
And you are
100%
certain of that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt whatsoever. Whether they'll indict is another issue.
But we'll deal with that once the FBI steps up and tells the folks what they're going to do. But I see the process here is confusing because there is politics involved. Everybody knows that.
Yes.
You know, and they could delay it until what? Next December, could they?
Theoretically, they could. I don't think they want to. I think that Jim Comey, the director of
you
the
You like
FBI,
him, by the way, Comey?
Yes, I do. He's a very, very straight shooter. He's very apolitical. If he makes a serious recommendation for indictment.
They have to do it.
And the political forces in the Justice Department say no, I wouldn't be surprised if he resigns.
Appreciate it, Judge. Now let's go to D.C., where David Tafuri, who worked for the State Department.
We'll take a break here. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Roger.
Good morning, Roger. Hope you're well, and what's on your mind?
I just think that Michael Savage is wrong about him saying that, he'll be a disaster when Donald Trump gets in here because of Obama. I think he's just looking for something to say, later he'll say, oh, I told you so, it was a disaster. Because he knows Donald Trump's going to be a disaster. But the real reason he's going to be, it's not going to work out, it's because...
What's not going to work out?
Donald Trump, if he becomes president.
All right. You don't like Donald Trump.
He's not going to be a good president.
Jerry, I've noticed that you don't like Donald Trump, but what about the idea that Obama is working on his own thing? He's working on downsizing and getting America back into line and getting America to stop trying to control things in the world. It would be an obvious step to before he went in back. You know, he's doing something out of the ordinary for a typical president. No.
Right. What I'm trying to point out is that the reason why it's going to be hard on Donald Trump and it's going to look bad on him when his policies don't work. It's because he's got all the Democrats mad at him. He's got all the Republicans mad at him. So the Congress is not going to work with him. And that's why he's not going to become a good president if he becomes president.
Why would a Republican all things being equal, why would a Republican Congress not want to work with a Republican president? Wouldn't that be a suicide mission?
Yes, they don't like him. You think they like him?
I think that it's politics, and people take various postures depending on what they benefits them.
Well, like the establishment, Republican establishment don't like him, and I think they're going to want to get back at him. And
well,
I think that's the way they're going
to
do it.
They're going to destroy the whole party just to get back at Donald Trump. That, to me, doesn't make any sense. It seems, but I mean, let's just say you're a wide receiver on one of the best teams in the NFL. If somebody becomes a quarterback that you don't particularly like, that doesn't mean you're going to drop every pass.
It's the party's almost destroyed anyway.
How?
Well, they're not working together.
Well,
they have somebody that
he just got
somebody
it.
That,
he just got the pretty much the presumptive nomination. So we don't even know if they're going to work together yet.
Right, and they don't like him. The establishment don't like him.
What is your beef with Donald? Let's restate it.
Because he's arrogant. He puts down people. He's a socialist. He's on and on and on. I don't think he's going to turn out to be a good president at all. If he becomes president, he's going to be a disaster, I think.
So, in other words, destroy his presidency before he has a chance to ruin it.
Right.
I totally disagree.
I totally disagree.
I think the Republicans are going to be motivated, number one, by self-preservation, and they're going to want to put their own careers first. In doing that, they're going to want him to succeed. Doesn't that make sense?
Well,
are they supposed to be patriots? Are they patriots and they're gonna kill Donald because Donald has to go away because he doesn't fit the mold?
Well, he doesn't fit my mold, that's for sure.
I got that. I got that about 6 months ago. But
when you jumped on the Republican bandwagon, right?
No, I mean it's a
concern. You try to tell us. You didn't, but you did. You jumped on that bandwagon.
You
long
no, no,
time
no.
You were
you mean
ago.
You mean the Trump? No, he's an entertaining guy, but I mean
yes, he is. I agree with that right away.
Right. So I mean, you know,
that's why the media loves him.
Well, he's also fighting against a lot of the old guard. He's pushing back. He doesn't take the traditional positions. He's interesting, but I mean, if Ted Cruz had won. Although I do have a few things I disagree with Cruz on, I obviously would have supported him as being closer to my ideal than Hillary. Do you think there's any chance Hillary will be indicted?
I don't think so. At this point, I thought she was going to be indicted sooner, but it hasn't happened. I don't see it happening. If it was going to happen, it would have happened already.
It would be a total disaster for the Democrats, but who do you think they'd bring in?
Yes, it would be a disaster.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks for the call. Anything else?
One last thing.
Quickly.
I think it was a very distasteful joke you made there at the beginning about
the teenager.
Yeah, dropping out like a pregnant teenager.
Well,
hey,
it's a Donna. It's a Donyana joke, you know. I gotta use it when I get a chance.
Man. But it's distasteful. Come on, stay away from stuff like that.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Bye bye.
All right, folks. Jokes are not always one size fits all. I think we're aware of that. All right, let's take a little break here. And so just taking the argument here, if Hillary gets indicted, what do you say happens? And then, you know, she could stay in there. She could drop out. Now, if she drops out, she, you know, was forced out by the party. Who takes her place and why? 620, Kelly O'Connor, Show AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And that is 523-1450 and 805-6180. We'll be right back to pick that up. Oh, and I'm doing a little bit of smooth jazz. His Marc Antoine and Frankie really liked the guitar the other day. He sat and wept next to the radio receiver with tears of joy. We'll be right back. All right, let's carry on a little bit more with that report coming out about the possibility it's heating up, but who knows if it's a political decision. Don't forget that, whether Hillary would be indicted, and I know that there's would be some level of general outrage out there if she was indicted, but I mean, you'd have to figure if she's indicted and the president is a Democrat and she's a Democrat, there would have to be a lot of evidence out there. Here is a little bit more on this story.
Also have some thoughts on the FBI's investigation. Now, do you think the judge, he says he's 100% certain there's enough evidence to indict. Do you agree with that?
Look, people look at this one of two ways. They're either convinced Hillary is going to be indicted and go to jail, or they're convinced this is complete nonsense, it's going to go away. That's in stark contrast to the way the FBI is approaching this, which is they're moving very calmly, slowly, methodically to look at all of the evidence. They're looking at only two issues. One is, did Hillary Clinton break the law? And two is there enough evidence to prove that to a jury? Judge Napolitano did not address that fact, and that's very significant. The one question is did she violate the law by releasing classified information? Ignore all the other stuff about her private server. That may have been bad, that may have been careless, but it wasn't in violation of the law. Now, you have to look at prosecutions of other high-level officials and compare them. Look at the prosecution of General Petraeus. It is similar in a lot of ways to what Hillary Clinton did, but it's very different in one way. General Petraeus admitted on tape to Paula Broadwell that he knew he was passing along classified information. Hillary Clinton, in contrast, says she did not know she was emailing with classified information. Look at the prosecution of Sandy Berger. Also different, a very significant aggravating factor.
Well, he put papers down documents. His pants.
Yes,
so,
down
I mean,
his pants.
That's not even close. But look, do you believe there's a grand jury in place right now?
I don't know.
All right,
and,
you don't
and
know.
Nobody
that's a
knows.
Fair answer. All right. So if the grand jury is in place, if, and you would assume that the FBI was going to have to get around to doing that. I don't know when they may have already done it. The intent isn't that important to the grand jury. All right. That's for the trial. All right. It's what actually happened. So the people, the folks on the grand jury, are they going to be presented with this is what happened. Here's the law, and this is what she did, not what was going on inside her mind. They're not psychologists. So I think that the intent of this, that comes in the main trial, if there ever is one. Now is what she did and whether that rises. Last word.
Well, no, intent matters even for if you're going to indict. You have to be able to show that there was intent. She intended to release classified information, and that's not clear here yet. And we don't know
but
what the FBI knew.
You, but it may be clear to the FBI based on testimony that's already been given. That's why I don't want to get into it, because we don't know.
Well, the most important thing that's going to happen is the interview of Hillary Clinton. Everything rides on that. If she can defend her actions and she's not
I don't
caught
know.
Being
the
mistruthful.
The guy they gave immunity to. If he contradicts what she says, it goes.
All right. So is that true that she doesn't have that she has to have intent? I think they can indict her without intent if they wanted to. Just all they have to do is prove that she had, you know, basically that she put out there. She knew that there was, you know, highly classified stuff out there. It may not have been her intent to share it with other countries. You know, this guy, Guccifer, this is another kind of interesting development in this case. Guccifer is this hacker from Romania or wherever he's at. And he hacked into her account and he said it was easy. So, you know, one of the things that the FBI is looking for is proof that somebody else got this stuff, not that it was out there. And not that it was, you know, hackable. They want to know that it was hacked and it did get out. So, I mean, it would seem to me that this Guccifer guy getting prosecuted in the middle of this investigation is a bad sign for Hillary. And I've got a little bit on Guccifer right now. I guess Gucci, a combination of Gucci and Lucifer. But here is a little bit on that.
Fox News exclusive infamous Romanian hacker Guccifer says he's breached Hillary Clinton's private server. And by the way, he says it was easy. All right, Kathy Taylor, I want to ask you about this. You understand this area This is a bombshell. This is something Judge Napolitano said was possible. He thought it was, he was convinced this would happen, and now we've got it, that it has happened. What do you think this does with respect to the legal aspect of this? And also, what could he have seen? I mean, 22 top secret items at least, right?
Well, let's take a little break here and come back and find out about that. But I think that this is, you know, just the fact that it was hackable may not prove their case. If they want to stand for the proposition, if Hillary does that, I, you know, it may have been vulnerable, but nothing bad happened. If this guy hacks in there, it might be all the evidence that they need. Who knows? Kelly O'Connell. And you're listening to 1450 KOBE AM Las Cruces, 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We will be back to find out about Guccifer. All right, so we're kind of having this conversation about if Hillary gets indicted, what happens next? And here is, and it is possible they haven't dealt with this. And if you've been living under a rock, it's a FBI investigation into emails that I believe was originally triggered by Benghazi Low those many years ago, and now they discovered that she had her own private email server. It was in her garage. It was put together by some amateurs, and it had, essentially speaking, on the level that they're talking about, no security whatsoever. You know, but here's a little bit about Guccifer getting prosecuted now for hacking the half the world up. Here's from Fox Business News.
Right. I mean, I've said all along that Hillary Clinton's behavior on this and her actions have been a real slap in the face to anybody who served and the American public. Because when you work at the highest level of government, like we've been privileged to do, you take an oath and you make a promise to uphold this information and keep it extremely safe on behalf of your fellow citizens. So this is a major, major bombshell to have, no pun intended, firsthand knowledge, unfortunately, firsthand knowledge this way. And I think that it really makes the case for Bernie Sanders to stay in. And it raises the possibility that, you know, if she is indicted, which she very well may be, particularly if there's firsthand evidence like this, I'm not a lawyer, but if you look at that path, then what happens? Does a Joe Biden jump in at convention time? How does this play out?
Right.
And that throws the whole race up into the air again.
Van Hip, you just wrote a book on terrorism, and you understand, you know, the vulnerabilities here. I think this is not necessarily news to anyone who knows that this guy was a world-class hacker and that this is a private email server on a farm somewhere. But now that it's officially out there, what do you see happening?
is going to be very concerning to the Hillary Clinton campaign right now. Let me tell you that. I mean, she's still, and I agree with what we just said. She's still got to get through the FBI primary. Bernie's still staying in. And don't forget, while we think it's a big difference between Clinton and Sanders right now, the delegate count, when you look at the superdelegates, let me tell you, those superdelegates are the same superdelegates who did the cut and run on Hillary Clinton back in 2008. And that can happen again. So this is, like I said earlier, these next few weeks, it's a clear pathway for Donald Trump. But Hillary Clinton has still got to deal with Bernie, and she's still got to deal with the FBI primary.
Ford O'Connell, I want to bring you in because Hillary dealing with Bernie, so far he's given her a free pass on the email situation. But this is a huge, huge news item, and I just don't know how he'll be able to resist not talking about it, particularly to the American public.
Well, his whole goal is to sway the superdelegates if he continues to win and can get some more pledged delegates. I think he needs to use this to his advantage. The superdelegates, as Van pointed out, are very pragmatic. And should she actually still get the nomination and survive the FBI primary? This is very telling for her when it comes to trustworthiness in a general election narrative. And it's going to be open game for Donald Trump to say, not only are you not credible, but you put the nation's security at risk at a very troubling time.
So here we are, Mercedes, this news coming out. Bernie Sanders, who's in it to win it, he's got momentum.
All right, so let us cut to, I've got for you a list of, and this is from the Washington Examiner, and this is from about a year ago, 21 Democrats who maybe could take the place of Hillary Clinton should she get indicted. I'm just going to read them. You're not going to believe some of the names here, but anyway. If Hillary leaves because she's indicted for the email thing, who could replace her? In probably no particular order here. Daniel Malloy, governor of Connecticut, who I've never heard of. Tom Udall. And they say he doesn't bring youth, but he brings a powerful political family. Bernie Sanders, which doesn't need any explanation at this point. Jay Nixon, the incompetent boob who oversaw the Ferguson riots. Bill Nelson, who looks like Skeletor. You know, he looks like Fireman. What's that guy's name on Living Color? Fireman Bill. I swear, you got to look this thing up on the Examiner. Title of the piece is 21 Democrats who could maybe take Hillary Clinton's place in 2016. But it gets even juicier, folks. Martin Heinrich, who is sitting in his office, New Mexico boasts two Democratic senators, is a rare success for the party. Martin Heinrich looks like I won't comment on what I think he looks like, but he looks like a mannequin, to be totally honest, that somebody put in a seat. Tom Wolf, one-time forklift operator with a PhD. Oh, isn't that interesting? He must be in a union to pull that one off. Steve Beshear, governor of Kentucky. Al Gore, yes. Al Gore, bring him back. Amy Klobuchar, senior senator from Minnesota. Joe Manchin. Manchin in the sky. He's West Virginia. John Hickenlooper from up above us, Colorado. Rahm Emanuel, I don't think he's on this list anymore. His approval rating is like 5% in Chicago. Cory Booker from New Jersey. Jerry Brown, please don't bring Jerry Brown back for anything. Terry McAuliffe, Virginia governor. Andrew Cuomo, New York governor. Jim Webb, I think he'd be a great choice. Martin O'Malley, Joe Biden. Joe Biden would be awful. Elizabeth Warren, by the way, is just nuts. But maybe that would make her perfect for the nomination. All right, so let's take a little break here and get a little bit more into this email issue. I got a lot of other stories, but John Kasich is dropped out. What a shock. Huh? Nobody even noticed. Nobody noticed that there was a flat line coming from his monitor in ICU. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 641 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450, and 805-6180 to text. We'll be back. 642 on the button. All right. So, you know, you have to wonder how much of what's going on in this email, how much of this, what is going on right now will come into factor in terms of the timing, the politics and everything. Ann Coulter claiming the White House is planning to replace Hillary Clinton. Now, do you remember a few weeks ago, a month or so or whatever, Bill Clinton starts to attack Hillary? But he starts to attack Obama. And it's like, you know, this is crazy. He's attacking the economy. He's attacking other things. And I was wondering at that time, like, what would motivate this guy, who's a very savvy political player, to go after somebody who has the power to indict or not indict his wife? And I thought, well, you know, maybe it is possible that, you know, basically that they found out that Obama was actually thinking about allowing an indictment. There had to be something that stirred up Bill. I mean, as old and as crazy as he is now, he still is, you know, he's a smart guy. Now, Ann Coulter saying the White House is planning to replace Hillary, laying out a plan. And so, you know, I don't know. Obviously, Ann Coulter has inside sources and such, but she goes, let's just say that James Comey, he advises that Hillary should be indicted. Then what happens? Well, she's either indicted or she's not. But at that time, you have to wonder if she's not so badly damaged and shopworn that she's got to drop out. Now, knowing the Clintons, I think you have to say they're not going to drop out, but they're still going to try to stay in there. But the party itself then has the power to replace her. Now, here's a little bit on the very latest on the email scandal.
The panel. Well, this week, the Justice Department granted immunity to a fellow named Brian Pagliano. He's a former State Department staffer, former Clinton 2008 staffer who set up Clinton's private.
Well, actually, this is slightly, I didn't look at the date there. It's slightly dated. So, well, you have to just, you know, kind of sit there and figure out, you know, what is Obama? You know, Obama is, I think he's famous for not being a fan of the Clintons, and maybe this is his chance for some payback. So here is Judge Jeanine Pirro.
He's a Trump tidal wave coming down right now.
Who do you want to run against, Larry? Who do you want your party to run against on Ed's side?
I want to run against Hillary. She's going to be the nominee. The only way she's not going to be the nominee, Judge, is if she gets indicted by the DOJ. That is not going to happen. Barack Obama, when he retires, wouldn't be able to get a table at Fatburger if he would have let his DOJ indict her. So she's a candidate, and I'd love to run against her. She's a target-rich environment, and if the candidate is Donald Trump, believe me, she's going to have to answer to the email and going to have to answer to something she's never had to answer to before, and that is what she did to six private detectives and lawyers on these women who made allegations against her husband. That's never come up, and Donald Trump will make it come up.
All right, Ed,
yeah.
You worried about Hillary as a candidate?
No, I'm not. I think she's a strong candidate. All the stuff that's coming out here, we have seen before. I think that no matter who the nominee, whether it's Trump or some magical other GOP nominee that gets that ends up in the general, it's going to be a tough race, but I think she pulls it out.
Oh, come on. Now she is badly damaged, but let's take a little break here, and we'll come back and finish up on the email issue. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, there is another aspect to this investigation of Hillary that it is a statement by Judge Napolitano, who has been very much in the corner of or in favor of seeing Hillary indicted. And the upshot from that is that, indictment or not, Hillary faces a catastrophe. And here's the angle on that. And this is Andrew Napolitano.
Welcome to my chambers. Earlier this week, Bill O'Reilly asked Donald Trump if he thought Mrs. Clinton would be indicted for her mishandling of classified materials. Remember, she diverted secret information from the State Department server to our own, thereby exposing it to hackers. The removal of secret state secrets constitutes the crime of espionage, and the evidence of her guilt, the publicly known evidence of her guilt, is overwhelming. Donald Trump told Bill O'Reilly that he didn't think Mrs. Clinton would be indicted because the Democrats would save her. And Donald Trump might be correct, but if the Democrats do save her, that is, if the Democrats that run the Justice Department decide that she's not going to be indicted because she's about to become or will have become the Democratic nominee for president, can you imagine what the reaction will be? The FBI will release the evidence against her, much of which is already publicly known. And I believe that FBI agents, perhaps even the director himself, James Comey, will resign. And President Obama will be confronted during his last 6 months in office with a crisis not unlike Richard Nixon's during the so-called Saturday Night Massacre in Watergate, where people resigned rather than doing what the president asked them to do. And that will have a catastrophic effect on Mrs. Clinton's candidacy, probably so catastrophic that she will be replaced on the Democratic ticket. Welcome to my chambers.
All right, so what's the deadline to replace? All right, and this is from Cora. What is the deadline by which a candidate must announce his or her candidacy for president in 2016? And we do have a call, but I'll tell you this in just a second. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Roman Jimenez. I'm a candidate for county commissioner for District 4.
Roman, what's going on?
Hey, not too much yourself?
Not too much. What's
hey,
up?
I'm out in the front parking lot. I was Kelly said to be here at 7.
Thank you for calling. And you're on the air right now, by the way.
Oh, okay. Okay, great.
All right. Well, we'll try to get you in here. All right. Don't panic. There's no bears around here or anything. All right, Ramon. Hey, hang in there.
No problem.
Hang in. We're going to call 911 for you. Hold on. All right, folks. We've got a little visitor today. When is the deadline by which a candidate must announce his or her candidacy for president in 2016? All right, the answer to that from Quora. In order to secure access to general election November ballots, most states have a 60-day filing deadline for a candidate to present fees and sufficient certified signatures from residents of those states. That's why the Democratic and Republican parties have their candidate nominating convention in August. That's what it takes to get your name listed as a choice. So, but you know what? I really think that the fact of the matter is that if Hillary if she is made redundant or irrelevant, it doesn't matter what the time frame is. They'll bring somebody else in, pardon me, in the name of an emergency. But so you call into the show and somebody says, welcome, thanks for calling into the Kelly O'Connell Show. And the person doesn't know they're on the air. Anyway. Bill Clinton mocks FBI investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. Check it out.
Hillary Clinton has maintained it is a security review. Bill Clinton has now mocked FBI's investigation into his wife's secret email server.
If you're driving in a 50-mile-an-hour zone, and a police officer pulls you over when you're driving 40, says, I'm sorry, I've got to give you a ticket, because you know the speed limit here should be 35, and you should have known it. So everybody's all breathless about this. Look, this is a game.
Judge Napolitano again explained why the Clintons' defense that the emails weren't marked classified at the time falls flat.
That defies an oath she took her first day in office, which says, I have an obligation to recognize a secret when I see one, whether it's marked confidential, secret, top secret, or not. There were so many in that category. There were 2,200 of the 60,000 that contained state secrets. Of those, 20 contained top secret. Of those, 4 were so secret that the FBI agents investigating her lack of clearances to examine.
So the judge added that Mrs. Clinton is battling the FBI on two fronts with a second investigation.
Bill, there are two teams of FBI agents investigating. When I say teams, I mean dozens and dozens of agents. One team is investigating whether or not she used her power as Secretary of State to confer American governmental benefits on foreigners and foreign countries that contributed materially to the Clinton Foundation. The other is investigating the emails.
And the Clinton Foundation.
Yes, that is where. That is not drawing to a close. That involves several hundred thousand pages of financial documents, which the FBI didn't begin examining until January.
With both investigations looming, the judge said this is a big problem for voters.
The Democrats and the public have the right to know if the Democrats are about to nominate someone who's going to become a criminal defendant.
All right, so what are the chances that she gets indicted? I think it's pretty slim, but they got to have an investigation. I think it's slim because ultimately it is up to it's up to the president. I mean, the president is running all these things, and you may not see the president as competent or in charge, but I can guarantee you he will be the person who decides if she gets indicted. Now, if she is his Secretary of State, how does that make him look? Although it makes it easier for him to blame stuff on her by saying she's off the reservation. But you know, the upshot is that Hillary is in a little tight spot right now. I don't think it's that big of a deal because the people who would vote for her or not vote for her, the Democrats, really don't care about this. And so, no, I don't. How many people are going to that are Democrats not vote for her because of the email? I don't think anybody. I think it's irrelevant unless she gets indicted. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, thanks for listening into the first hour. We've got a candidate in the second hour, so 659 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text, and we'll be back after a break on the hour. And here's a little more Marc Antoine. Thank you. Well, good morning. 7:06 here. Kelly O'Connell show, obviously. And we've got for your temperature right here, we've got 61 degrees. And it's nice, you know, nice outside, not as cool as it was a few nights ago. And we've got a local candidate, but first a few headlines for you. I had mentioned that the border crossers it's spiking right now. And maybe the sense that they have that they've got to get in here before the presidency changes. Hands, Limbaugh, Trump beating Clinton in a landslide, in his opinion. I'm going to have to do weird news tomorrow. Earth's mantle is falling off, according to a claim. There's a lot of earthquake activity back east that they're talking about. John McCain feeling like maybe Trump may be the end of McCain, and that the period of the elites running everything is over. And so you've got, well, not a whole lot of big news, but we do have the murder of that young girl up in Shiprock. So that's just about as bad as it gets. But anyway, we do have Roman. I'm screwing up his name already. Roman Jimenez, also known as Roman, County Commissioner, District 4. Good morning to you, Roman.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good to have you on the show here. Sorry you were trapped up front.
No problem.
Hopefully you were not menaced by some of the bad kids in the neighborhood. But
just for a little while, we were able to beat them off.
That's good. All right. So but why don't you give people a little introduction to yourself? Where are you from?
Thanks. Well, my name is Roman Jimenez, of course, running for county commissioner here, District 4. I'm originally from Santa Fe, New Mexico, but I moved down here about 10 years ago. Been here with my family ever since.
Good. So, and you're in the security business?
Yes, now I am. Yes, sir.
And you were before, what were you up to?
Before that, I spent 21 years with the New Mexico State Police.
Oh, okay. That's good training.
Yeah.
All right. So, and what was your position with the police?
Well, I did a variety of different things. I did just about everything you can imagine with police work with the state police. I eventually retired as a captain for the state police.
All right. So you traveled all over the state?
A little bit, yes, sir.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how did you get an interest in politics?
Well, I've always had an interest in politics, one of the catalysts has been just seeing how things have been going over the course of the last few years. You know, it's obviously taken a turn for the worst, and especially here locally, you know, being that we're here in Las Cruces, and I've had the opportunity to kind of see how things have been going here, and hearing and some of the things that candidates and politicians have been up to here. And I think just like everybody else, got tired of seeing the way things were going, and so I wanted to make a change and thought I'd get involved. And I thought the county commission position would be the best way to do that.
Okay, and what were some of the criticisms that you had?
Well, you know, some of it started with the gross receipts of tax increase that occurred here within the county. You know, typically, when voters vote on something and they make their voice known and their opinion known about a certain topic, you would think that would be the direction that our leadership would go in. And in this particular case with the gross receipts tax increase, to see and hear a meeting that occurred where they were totally oblivious to what the voters wanted, and they did the increase anyway, that was one of the things that kind of pushed me to try and get involved. Because it was obvious to me that they were out of touch with what the public wanted.
Right. Okay. So, and you saw the other day, if you're tracking this, which I'm sure you are, Billy Garrett, Golden Earring, was outraged that someone would call his honor into question. But I mean, there is a sense at the county commission that it is kind of just totally off the rails and doing, like you say, whatever it wants. What do you think's going on over there?
I think what it is, from my opinion, it's a mentality of they know better than what we know.
The elites.
The people have spoken one way, but I don't really think that's what they want. I really think they want what I want, which is this groupthink mentality of, you know, we're going to implement this community, communal type situation where we're going to make changes to the county, make changes to the way things are run, because we know best for everybody.
Yeah. Have you ever talked to, I'm assuming that you have, but to the, have you, before you decided to run, I assume that you interacted with some of these people.
With some of the county commissioners?
Yeah. Or anybody in the county that you had a bad experience with?
Well, not directly. I wouldn't say. I think it's mostly been as a result of just seeing the things that have been done as a group with a commission.
And so did you hear that the county manager had borrowed someone's car for a year? Whatever employees?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. And so and I believe that car was finally sold to a county commissioner, but the exact details are in somewhat dispute. But I believe the broad outline is correct, that the county manager borrowed the car of one of her employees for something like a year. What do you feel about that?
Well, in that particular case, I think a lot of it would boil down to the details of it. You know, what that relationship was and what the
when you were a captain. Uh-huh. In the state police, would you have borrowed one of your deputies' cars for a year?
No.
Probably not, right?
No.
I mean, I don't think you have to get too far into the details, but okay. So you're a Republican in this race, and so what are some of the Republican values you identify with?
Well, a lot of them. I think one thing that I do kind of stray from, I can start with that part of it, because
all right, answer the question with a negative.
Well, yeah, all right, okay. just to say that one thing that I guess I am tired of is just the fact that as a voter, as a citizen, we've placed people in positions to make change,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like that's kind of gotten a little stagnant regardless of which party you're part of. You know, so speaking to that respect, I think that's another area in which I looked at and felt the desire to kind of get involved in this. So the other thing, on the opposite side of that is, one thing I do identify with that's very important to me is the fact that we need to limit our involvement in the way people run their lives. I think that, right now, again, the mentality is that politicians know better than what we do for what we want to do with our own lives. And I think that that's one area that I think we need to really look at, is that if people that are economists or business people that say that they have an idea of what they think is best for the economy or for businesses, I think we need to listen to them. But the fact that somebody votes you into a position, even though you have not had a great deal of leadership or business experience before, doesn't all of a sudden give you this grand knowledge and wisdom about how to do things better than the people that are experts in that particular area.
Absolutely, as we found out in Washington. Okay, we'll take a break here. We're talking to Roman Jimenez and about his run for County Commission, District 4. And it's 7:15 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1415, 805-6180 to text in, and we'll be back. All right, 7:19, about 60 degrees outside, and as you know, Kasich is out, and Cruz dropped out, and so it's now, it looks like it's going to be against Hillary Clinton in the first part of the show, so whether it was possible Hillary would be indicted and replaced in the Democratic ticket over there, so and how that would play out. So anyway, we have this. He's from the previously from the state police, and he's running for the county commission district 4. So, Roman, what are some of your ideas? You said you're in favor of change, that you're different from other Republicans, and that you want change. And so, what changes do you foresee bringing in if you get elected?
The biggest thing is leadership. I think leadership qualities are something that we're missing at that level. You know, I have a proven track history of leading people, of dealing with important decisions, life or death situations, that type of thing. And right now we lack a sense of leadership from the county commission level. And I bring that to the table. I know how to lead people. I know how to negotiate. I was a crisis negotiator with the state police for 15 years.
Well, if Kiki takes, you know, if he takes the county commission hostage, that might come in handy.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I could probably.
He's got to take off here. But what do you want people to remember about your candidacy, Roman?
Well, what I want them to know is that I want to take care of the priorities of their needs.
And what are they?
Okay, their public safety. We want to make sure that the things that the government's responsible for, public safety, is the most important. We want to make sure that we have a great public safety response in line for them. We want to make sure that the roads that they drive on are taken care of. We want to make sure that we're listening to people that know how to create economic opportunities for the county, and we give them the input they need so that we can create those economic opportunities and create jobs.
All right. And so what if people on the county commission push back on this? What if the Wayne Hancocks and the Garretts push back and say, that's not, you know, we're running things and that's not what we want.
Right. Well, what else is new, right? That's what Hancock and Garrett do. They push back. They think they know better than everybody else. So the voting public needs to get out there and they need to vote them out of office. That's what they need to do. They need to vote for change. They need to make sure that their voice is heard loud and clear. It was obviously not heard loud and clear with the gross receipts tax vote. It was obviously not heard loud and clear with the Southern Transit system. The people voted on those two things, and Hancock not only sat up there and ignored their wishes, but they implemented their own thoughts on what needed to be done, and they ignored the voice of reason from other commissioners like Ben Rawson and the public.
So what if they don't get voted out? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to make my voice heard loud and clear one way or the other. And I think the public needs to do that. If you're upset, like the last caller, like Rosie, you need to stand up. You need to go to these meetings. You need to make your voice heard. You need to let them know that you're not happy with what's being done.
Well, I mean, that's happening. It just doesn't appear to be being taken in as information.
Right.
As facts. It's taken in as just somebody's opinion, and they're going to go on and work on their stuff. Well, so what about this future plan that they put together?
Which plan are you referring to? The comprehensive plan?
Yeah. What's your position on that?
Well, again, it's somebody taking their own agenda and their own opinion and implementing it. Their thoughts are they know what we need, and they have these focus groups, these groups of people that are created with their own by their own special interest groups to tell them what they want to hear. And there hasn't been enough input from the public. It's a convoluted plan of 180 some pages that talks around a bunch of different issues, tries to make it sound pretty and beautiful. And
take it you're not in favor of it.
I'm not in favor of it. Not until they've gotten some buy-in and they've gotten some full input and evaluations done. Hey, listen, I'm not an economic, you know, major or professor, but I mean, it's pretty simple. If people are telling you this is not going to work, or it's not within the budget, or we don't have a solid fiscal plan for this, then maybe we don't need to do that. Right?
Sure. And so how do people get in contact with you?
Okay. Roman? Well, I have a email address. It's Jimenez4District4. Again, Jimenez4District4@gmail.com. Or my Facebook page is the easiest way. It's Roman Jimenez for County Commissioner. And it's a Facebook page. You can get on and leave comments or ask questions.
Okay. We're going to take a break, but anything else you want people to know?
just if you're mad, go out there and vote, and let's get some change in there, and I'll let my actions speak for themselves.
Okay, 7:38, and we want to thank Ramon Jimenez for coming on. We'll take a break and come back, and I got a few details about Trump and Cruz and Beck. As a matter of fact, we'll be right back at AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 and 805-6180. All right, so I've got a little bit of weather for you. The first one is on the California drought, which has had a remarkable recovery. Check this out from weather.com.
Hey, I've got some great news for California. The drought emergency has officially ended. Now, this isn't to say that there's not still a significant drought problem going on, because there is, but the numbers have gotten a whole lot better over the last couple of weeks. I think what you'll notice over the next few weeks is a lot of the water restrictions changing. I know those have been in effect for a long time, and there will still probably be some, but things are generally improving. And the reason why the numbers are going down as far as the drought goes is because, you know, we've had a lot of rain during rainy season, which is the winter, and also, of course, more importantly, snow in the high elevations. And now that it's spring, a lot of that stuff is draining down into the reservoirs. Let's talk numbers here. About a year ago, we had close to 50% of the state under an exceptional drought. Now that number is down to 21%. That's where you see the darkest red color here. 1 week ago, it was at 32%. So the significant improvement is happening very, very fast.
And a little bit about the upcoming weekend's weather. And you do realize, of course, that there has been one storm after another that has pounded Texas and Louisiana and up through there. So here's a little bit more of severe coverage for you.
It's the most hail-filled time of the year. You know it, Texas, and all through the plains. This time of year, you're going to see hail and a lot of it. Now, what is coming this weekend for your Mother's Day could be larger than what you see here, what happened last week. Let's talk about the setup of this and the severe weather that we're anticipating. In the upper levels of the atmosphere, we have this trough dip, right? So this low that develops in the upper levels, this is going to drive some of our energy east. And then watch what happens at the surface. Not only do we get a surface low that develops, we also get the low-level jet kicking in, and that combined with a dry line that sets up, you know, those always set up right through the panhandle of Texas, Oklahoma, up into the plains. That's going to be an area we really watch for large hail potential, possibly some damaging winds as well here. You'll notice on Saturday, there's also a little severe from Davenport across to Cincinnati, even Chicago getting in on the mix a bit. On Sunday, you'll notice it just travels a little farther off to the east, stretching across Kansas, Oklahoma, down into the hill country of Texas.
Okay, so Saturday, the storm's coming up all the way from the bottom of Texas up through the panhandle, and then by Sunday, it moves over to the right and covers Dallas and some a fairly large swath that goes up farther north. Okay, I have got for you a little bit of, on the Glenn Beck watch, talking about Carly Fiorino, which I found very entertaining. Carly Fiorino, a great patriot. In case you didn't know it, check it out.
3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, he met with his top people from 11 o'clock at night.
This is about Cruz, if you haven't figured that out.
To 3 o'clock in the morning. The decision was made at 3 o'clock yesterday morning that if Indiana did not go, he would pull out. And everybody in the room was trying to convince him to stay in, except for a couple of people. Everybody in the room was trying to convince him to stay in. And all Ted said the entire night was, yes, but the country. That's all he kept saying. Yes, but the country.
I think he was talking about country music, but just that's my guess.
Tears rolling down his cheeks. Yes, but the country.
I think I would say the same thing back to him.
They tried. Mm-hmm. They tried.
Yes, but the country.
They tried.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was an original war where it was pretty contentious.
I know.
As I emailed you last night.
I know.
Where a third of the host of heaven was cast out. That was pretty contentious.
Yes.
Nope.
Glenn Beck has transmorphed his entire crew into nutcases.
Nobody stopped. They kept going for the good of the overall plan.
Then Carly walked in. I will tell you, Carly Fiorina is one of the most impressive people I have ever met. She walked in, and you know me, I'm a hugger, and sometimes I can be an awkward hugger. And, you know, sometimes I hug a little too long. So I hugged her, and I let go, and she...
That's not hugging, it's sexual harassment, Glenn.
She hugged me harder. And she just said, thank you. Thank you for standing true to your principles. And I looked at her and I said, are you kidding me? She said, no, you don't know how much you've meant to us. And I said, are you, Carly, probably the biggest patriot in America. She said, how do you figure that? And I said, because you knew last week. You knew last week this was a suicide mission. And you didn't care about your reputation of getting in, announcing you're going to be his vice president, and a week later,
it's over.
There was a possibility that it was over. She said it was the right thing to do.
Just like at Hewlett-Packard, she gets involved and everything falls apart. All right, so here's another clip. Glenn Beck, you will never have another Republican president. Another prophecy, folks, from America's prophet.
Is the face of the GOP. Well, that makes us crony capitalists. It makes us wafflers. It makes us pretty racist. It makes us big government guys. It just, you name it. It makes us that. Well, I'm none of those things.
Glenn Beck, the personal face of the Republican Party.
And so I can't say, well, these are my friends, because that's my future. I won't tolerate it. I don't want my children to look at that man and say, yeah, he's my president. I won't have that. I will not endorse it. I will not tolerate it. And I refuse to have my children think that I tolerated that. I won't tolerate it. For my children's sake, for capitalism's sake, for the Constitution's sake, for the party's sake, you have no chance of winning. First of all, let me tell you this. Donald Trump is now, what, 81% anti-Hispanic? The Hispanics are 81% against him?
I think it's higher.
You think it's higher now? So in the 80s, okay, anti-Hispanic, okay? Hispanics are like, I'll never vote for Donald Trump. And they're now 16%, or only 16% are left saying that they will vote for a Republican. So you've lost the Hispanic vote. When you come in and you now have the Hillary Clinton running, Hillary Clinton's going to win. I say that with the caveat of I've been wrong this entire election, so maybe Donald Trump wins. But let me tell you this, one way or another, and he's not going to build the wall. And if he does, then I'll apologize to him on that day. But he's not going to build that wall.
All right, you get the gist of that. Cruz was rejected. His man was rejected, and therefore all hell breaks loose, literally. And the GOP is going down the toilet and will never have another Republican president, and his kids will not even be able to say we're Republicans anymore. And the circle there, there is the end of the world, the end of days, the apocalypse, earthquakes. And I'm just starting off here. Why? Because it's a Glenn Beck prophecy. Kelly O'Connell, 750 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. And does Glenn Beck ever come on and say, I made a mistake? Oops, my prophecy didn't turn out? No. All right, we'll be right back. We're going to try to get every candidate on the show who's running. We have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Couple of things there, Kelly O.
Yes.
That whack job, glum fuck, that, you know, viscerally you get sick listening to, or at least I do.
Okay.
How in the world, you know, that Mr. McKay fella there puts him on? Why can't he have somebody else on before it gets to rational blob? That's number one.
Well, that, just to answer your question, God bless him, but Mike McKay's not on the working in the building anymore, so we do miss him. But
whoever the new boss is, you know, I mean, come on, nobody listens to him. I mean, when I shouldn't say nobody, very few people. I think they're wasting broadcast time by putting this gold buck on.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, we got another call, so let's cycle through your 14 points.
Well, okay, well, then the next thing is, you know, I told you before, Hillary is not going to get indicted. You know, it's going to be an inside deal. You know, that's not going to happen, okay?
All right.
And then this Mary Lee Soles girl, right, that was on yesterday, you know, I mean, I think she's a very lovely-looking lady. Looks like she's got a pretty good resume being an electrical engineer. I like scientific people.
Sure.
But she just doesn't seem to have the pizzazz to knock off that Steve Pierce guy. That's all.
Could be true. Thanks for the call. Have a great day. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim again. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. Jim, what's up?
You know, I was listening to that montage that you played from Glenn Beck, and being the Christian man that he is, what he's basically has just said is that people like Jerry Falwell Jr., Franklin Graham, Jeffers, Ben Carson, and others like him, he's telling them that they are racist, that they are bigots, they're homophobes, they don't like the – that's what he's basically said.
Well, I mean, he's staked his whole reputation on Cruz and dragged God into the argument, and now he's got egg on his face. And I noticed that neither Cruz nor Beck had one iota of graciousness or generosity in dropping out.
No, sir, they did not. And I also noticed I never, excuse me, I never heard of any of these other preachers like Falwell, Graham Jeffers come back and slam Glenn Beck for what he said.
Well, Glenn Beck is not a preacher. He doesn't have a degree in theology. The movement that he's a part of, many people would claim is a cult. So, I mean, for him to get up, though, and continually prophecy and claim that he's speaking for America and God and everything is, I mean, I think somebody on a national level should take this guy on and you know, challenge him to a debate.
Well, the religion that you had mentioned, I cannot remember what it was, Kelly. But
Mormonism.
It's a religion. Yes.
My whole life I've had Mormon friends, so I don't want to cross swords with anybody. But, I mean, technically speaking, he's got no right, even theoretically, to stand up and prophesy for God. I mean, he is not in the business, and he doesn't have the training to be a prophet.
No, but what he has basically said, that if you don't think like him, in other words, we are individual people. We all have our different views, you know, on different subjects. He just said that we're all stupid,
exactly,
and we're not for the country, and we're anti-God, and we're this because we don't believe like he does.
Yeah, Jim, I got to go. I got one more clip to play. Thank you. Good call. All right, folks, just wanted to play something for you real quick before the show ends. The reaction to the audience when Ann Coulter said to Bill Maher, it's going to be Trump.
Okay, here we are. And which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
Well, what about of all them? Scott Walker?
Laughter from the audience.
Scott Walker, would you say?
Of the ones who aren't declared, no, Romney Walker is my ticket.
Romney Walker.
All right. Romney Walker didn't happen, thank God. God did get involved. I got something from Tom Brokaw, but it looks like Tom Brokaw said it's a defining moment in American politics, and it really is. Now, Donald Trump refuses to back down on Muslim ban as he claims Islam is ruining Europe. This is the Donald Trump that we need, not that we necessarily need to ban Muslims. That's not the issue. The issue is to bring the topic up so that we can have public policy that is based on, number one, a broad response from the American public, and number two, that it is based on deeply contemplated and well-argued positions. And because of political correctness, you can't even talk about most of this stuff. So that's the ultimate value of Trump, and hopefully that he'll morph into more of a conservative, because he knows that that's how you become a Reagan. You become a conservative, and then later generations rise up and thank you. 759 Kelly O'Connell. And I do rise up right now and thank you for listening in to AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE. Have a great day, Kelly O'Connell. Ciao. And I'll take you out with some Marc Antoine unity. Well, what this country needs is unity. Here it is.